Questions?
Did you do anything differently because we were watching practice today, or was this what practice would normally be on Monday?
Yeah, this is just what we did, for the voluntary minicamp. You know, we actually repeated what we did just before the draft. So this was same install, day one preparation. Went back to where we were. When we got into the off-season phase two, we added some more things, but then we knew when we started again for the OTAs, we're going to go right back to day one install. So there wasn't a lot of offense, a lot of defense in there. We started back with punt normally the way we do it. So this was a normal day one for us.
Where do you think the guys, especially on offense, are as far as understanding plays and everything like that?
They're decent. You know, they've been great since we've been here since April 1st. I mean, we got a group of guys that are real eager. They want to learn, and they've been attentive in meetings. They've been great, and it was weird because we got to phase three first just because we were new staff. So we had the voluntary mini camp right before we really had anything else. And then we kind of caught back up again with the last couple of weeks of phase two. And then, they've been great, and I'll give those guys a ton of credit. They've been fantastic in terms of learning, wanting to figure everything out. So I'm really happy with where they are right now.
What do we make of Dennis Kelly getting a lot of first-team right tackle snaps and not Lane?
It was May 13th, so I would make that of it. So I don't think we play the Washington Redskins until sometime in September. So,
has he met your expectations in the small time?
Yeah, he's been here 3 days. So for 3 days, he's been the best offensive tackle we've ever drafted.
So you could say that basically about every position.
But
a quarterback, Michael, seemed like to be getting the majority of plays with the first team. What has he done at this point to kind of warrant?
He hasn't. Count them up. Someone charted them in here. I would imagine him and Nick switched to different groups. So. So that's what we did.
Yeah. So it was 50-50?
I mean, it could have been 48-52, but, we'll count them up. It's not – we're just – again, it's May 13th. There's nothing we're doing. There's different guys. You look up Regis with the ones because D-Jack was getting his shoe tied. So, we're just trying to get reps off and trying to get film and look at it. So to answer the original question, what would I make of it? It's May 13th, and we got a long ways to go before we ever set a depth chart or do anything like that.
Is there an acclimation process to the whole tempo of practices, and where is the team in that right now?
Yeah, I think it is, and we just want to practice efficiently. So it's the best way for us to practice. You've got 90 guys now, so I know when you hear a lot of guys talk, it's – I didn't get a chance to get my reps. Well, I don't think anybody on our team is going to complain about the amount of reps they got. I think everybody gets a chance to show what they can do on film. So, therefore, we can make some real good evaluations in terms of where we are, because at some point in time, we're going to have to go from 90 to 75 and then eventually to 53. So we want to make sure that we can use the full time we have. Obviously, this isn't how we're going to practice during the season, but in the off season, I think it's the best way to practice. So.
Is this as fast as you'd hope right out of the gun here?
Yeah, I think these guys have been really good. They want to learn. They want to play. They have a lot of fun doing it, and it's for us, it's been fantastic to be around them because they want it. So,
what's kind of the thinking with the music and stuff? Does that help with the tempo, or what sort?
There's a lot of science behind it, but I got 12 minutes left in this thing, so I can't really get into the details of it. But there's some science behind it, so we've used it for a while. So,
Chip, we didn't get to see obviously the Oregon practices. I don't know anybody here did, but where did this start for you? I mean, obviously this is different for us. Where did it start? Why?
Started when we were at New Hampshire, and then just, as I moved to Oregon, and it was a little different when I was a coordinator, and then changed a little bit more when I became the head coach. Just, we want to be efficient in our time. We don't want to be on the field for a long time. We want to maximize the time we're on the field. And then obviously, when you see us go from tempo periods to teach periods, there's a rhyme or reason to what we're doing. Time on task versus time teaching. I think there's a good balance of that, and we want to get them in and get them out. So, but we also have to get a certain amount of work in. So,
is your scientific research part of the way you do certain things here?
Yeah, well, there's a lot that goes into that. Obviously, we know we can't practice full speed for the entire time we're out there. So it's got to be short bursts. But the game of football is short bursts. It's really an anaerobic sport when you look at it. Because you're going hard for 5 to 6 seconds, and then you're taking a break, and that's what we're trying to get accomplished with these guys.
Any reason to make less mistakes evaluation because of that?
No, our evaluation's off the film, so we're going to coach off of that, and we have the film for ever. So we're going to run up after this, and we'll sit down and really dissect it. But that's where all of our evaluation usually is off of that. You'll take in what goes on while you're on the field with them, but then obviously, because we film everything, we get a chance to kind of go back through it. You know, what did this drill look like? What did this practice period look like? And really kind of get the details of it out of it. So I don't think it affects you from an evaluation standpoint.
Maybe get more reps than coaches might. In that you were saying, you want to get you maximize the time on the field every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but no, it's...
I lost the first part of the question then.
If you're getting more looks at guys that, you know, the 15 wide receiver or whatnot, mm-hmm. than normally, if you didn't do it this way, getting a better feel of by the end.
Yeah, I think we are, and I think we have to evaluate those guys. You know, you get two or three guys get injured out of position, and then, you know, are you taking a guy off the street that you haven't seen before, or somebody that you've had in camp and that's got a pretty good throw understanding and knowledge, and we know what he can do. So I think it helps us from an evaluation standpoint because our lower guys, you know, get more reps. You know, so the younger guys are going to get more reps in terms of how we practice. So. I think it helps us in evaluation.
It's challenging to make corrections to that pace of practice.
No, I don't think so.
The 11-11 plays seem like a lot of the defensive front. There's three down linemen a lot. But these just a set of plays that you were working on?
Yeah, it just depended on what was being installed today. So I wouldn't read totally into it. We'll play some three down. We'll play some four down. You know, I know the whole last team period was all four down, but that was scripted for it to be all four down. So it just depends on what we're working on. And we're not working on a game. We're working on everything we do is a situation, so we're never just going to put the ball down and play. So it's what are we working on in this situation and what are we going to go against so that there's a cooperation between Pat and Billy. What are we scripting? You know, in that first period, we don't motion. We just line up, you know, and they just line up. So it's there's a lot less scheme deals going on. It's more of a fundamental period for us. So it just depends. That's the first period we ran. So the first period we were more static than we were anything else. So
the outside linebackers, it seemed like they almost – although they stayed on one side, particular side, Barwin and Cole, let's say in particular, their roles though seem kind of similar in some ways that they would drop or sometimes pass rush. Is that, at least in these set of plays, is that accurate to say?
Yeah. I mean, if we're playing in a three-down scheme, our outside linebackers will be asked to do both things. So, you know, and that's where we got – but we have to figure out who that is. You know, and that's part of this whole process. You know, with outside linebackers, they have to be able to rush the passer, set the edge, and drop into coverage. But we need to evaluate them rushing the passer, setting the edge, and dropping into coverage. So that's what this whole process is about.
This is a unique practice. Have you had guys in the past who haven't been able to get up to the tempo and get up to the speed and the quick decision-making? And does that help separate guys when you're going to run this in games?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, but I think the game is about making quick decisions. And it's a game of 60 to 70 to 80 4-second plays. You know what I mean? So it's once the ball's snapped, it happens at that tempo. We're just trying to force them to everything we do has to kind of be reflect what the mission is. And the mission is to be prepared to play a 4-second play. And so you need to have that kind of to get that done. So I think that's why we're practicing at that.
Before a play, how many guys on the sidelines are giving signals in and are those personnel groupings, play calls?
That's everything. So. You know, there's a lot of guys doing that. We also, the difference here that we didn't have at college is that we can communicate to the quarterback, and there's a lot that's put on him. So there's a whole system involved in that. So we can talk to him. Pat was talking to the quarterbacks while they were, you know, we were out there. You know, and you get up to, I think, 20 seconds on a play clock to do that. But we also signal, you know, if we're going to be in an up-tempo practice, we just practice this way. That doesn't mean we're going to play every game this way. You know, it's just we think it's the most efficient way to practice when you have 90 guys. Now we're going to practice totally different when we only have 53 guys. So
every player on the field getting their information they need via those hand signals?
No.
Kerry Williams not here today.
Kerry got married yesterday.
Yeah, he won't be. Okay. It looked like Curtis Marsh had some plays at first-team cornerback. Can you talk a little about what you see out of Curtis? This is the guys with it.
Yeah, Curtis, I mean, I watched the film. Curtis has made some plays. You know, again, we had 3 days of voluntary minicamp and then today. So all of those guys have done a decent job, but, you know, we got a ways to go. You know, the phase two part of it is our defense was going against barrels and our offense was going against air. But our offense killed it against air. So if hopefully we could play air, we'd be really good. But, I mean, that's just a matter of developing plays. So we're so early to make evaluations of who's who. And, again, we keep talking who's first team, who's second team. We're just rolling. So whatever group's out there the next day, it really doesn't matter. But now over the course of time with 10 OTAs and 3 mini camps, by the time we get to June, we got a pretty good – number of snaps where we can start to evaluate and start to kind of slot some guys and kind of see where we are as we move into preseason camps.
Where
When do you expect Kerry Williams to be here? And also, when do you think Jason Kelce, who looked like he was doing some stuff today, when can he do fulls?
I don't know when Jason will be back. He's been fantastic. Been here every day, working his tail off. You know, he did almost everything in phase two. So he's running around doing a lot of things. That's obviously a medical decision in terms of when he can get in and get contact. And I think Kerry should be back next week. Usually there's a honeymoon after you get married. So I think hopefully he wants that to last more than a couple days. So he got married yesterday, so I did not expect him to be here today. So,
Jim, you're very involved in practice. Can you tell us if that's
standard? Practice actually helps you in games, because the games actually slow down compared to practice. Does that help when you get in the games?
We think so. You know, and I think it proved it out when we were at the last place I was. So I think if you can play it, you know, force yourself to play it at a fast tempo, and then the game itself kind of slows down a little bit. So
you're very involved in practice out there, we noticed. Will that be standard for you, or is that just early kind of in the season that you want to do more on the field?
No, ironically, that's my job. So, and I don't think Jeffrey would be real happy if he came out here and I was sitting in a lounge chair. So, I mean, I get paid to coach, so I'm going to coach. That's why I do it, so. Matt's been really good. You know, we've had him for 3 days. Really thought he picked things up quickly. He's an extremely hard worker. He's here every morning at 6 a.m. Working at whatever it is to work on. I mean, I think he's got a great football background first and foremost. You know, he started 4 years in high school and 4 years in college, and that's kind of rare. So he's been through, you know, a lot, and it showed up when he got here. He's got a lot of experience, even though he's a rookie. So I've been real impressed with Matt in the 3 days now, going into the fourth day that we've had him. So,
in the case of Zach Ertz and Jordan Poyer, for that matter, what effect will it have on not being here after these 10 OTAs and the minicamp?
I don't think like that. I mean, I'll see when they get back. So I'm not a prognosticator, so I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be this or going to be that. We've never been through it with them, but it's the rule. So those guys were really attentive in the 3 days that they were here. They took a lot of information back with them. You know, we'll keep in touch with them when they're away. But, I mean, I can't tell you, you know, I think what type of effect it's going to have on them. We'll see when they get back here. So,
Are you considering Jeremy Maclin at punts? Sorry. Are you considering Jeremy Maclin at punts?
No, we'll use Donnie Jones or Brad Wing as the punter. Punt returns? Yeah, we'll look at Mac back there. I mean, May. So we're going to take a look at him and Damaris and Deshaun and Nick Miller and Russell Shepard's the guy that's returned punts before. It's one of the rookies that's out here. So, you know, we'll get a bunch of those guys, because you never know in a game. All of a sudden, two guys are hurt. You know, when you only got a 46-man roster, someone's got to go back there, and hopefully it's someone that's fielded punts before. So he's got some experience at it, but we'll take a look at him. But does that mean he's going to be our starting punt returner? I have absolutely no idea right now. So
Matt Barkley spoke the other day about competing for the starting job.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a realistic expectation for him?
I hope so. I would hope anybody that came into this place isn't sitting here and saying, I think I'm going to be a really good, solid backup. I mean, I want our guys to come in here and show us everything that they can do. And our job as a coaching staff is to put the best guys on the field on first game against Washington that will help us win. And if that's Matt, that's Matt. So we'll see how that goes. But if anybody came in here and they said they're really vying for a backup job, then they would probably be on the bus down 95 pretty quick. So,
Chip, it sounds like mental condition is a big part of the pace out there, too, and getting them ready to think that way. How much of it are the players going out there not knowing what's coming, and you guys forcing them maybe to react?
I don't think they are. You know, I think they've been great. You know, we've had the opportunity since April 1st to have meetings with them every day, and that's the one thing that really has been impressive with them is how attentive they are, and they want to learn, and they've been great at it. You know, I think there weren't too many mental busts in terms of what they've done. Now, we went back to day one insertion, but really happy with where they are from their mental approach to it. That for us has been really refreshing, you know. Not knowing what to expect when they come in here because it's a new group and we haven't been around them. But they've been fantastic. You know, these guys love playing football and they love learning football. And that part makes it real enjoyable for us. So,
two more questions, guys. Two more.
The reactions. Like, they go out there and you get the 20 different periods. Like, how much of that do they know is coming? How much of it? Because it seems like there were points where you guys were trying to get them to react and throw stuff at them and seeing.
Now, this today was the exact mirror image of what we did on our first day of voluntary minicamp. So they went through this whole thing, and then the rookies went through, you know, probably an abbreviated version of this because we didn't have as many guys, you know, and so everything we did in the rookie minicamp was out of a huddle, you know, so that we didn't have to spend any time on trying to do signals and things like that. Just give them the play and let them get going. So they've learned both you're starting to learn the second phase of it from a rookie standpoint. But everything we did today wasn't new to these guys. They've already gone through it before. So,
what is it in the skill set of Brandon Graham and Trent Cole that makes you think that they can be guys that can drop and handle those responsibilities as outside linebackers?
You watch how fast they run, you know, what their ability to open their hips, and you know, they just haven't been asked to do it. You know, I think because they were brought up as defensive ends, but Brandon did it. Brandon did it in college. Brandon was an outside linebacker in college, so he's done some of it. But you watch Trent, I think it was in 2010, I think he dropped over 100 times into coverage and zone blitz schemes with his hand on the ground. So there's, you know, there's a little bit basis of film where we can kind of look at that and see what they can do. But, you know, again, it's still an evaluation period, so we're going to find out what they do the best and then put them in those situations where they can do it. So,
thanks,
Coach. Thanks.